Well, picture in your minds as I read these first couple of verses from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." That is about all we have on the background of the wise men. They showed up. That is about all we know. We kind of guess as to how far they came. Some people think that they came from old Babylon, which is in Iran. Some think that they traveled further than that to make it to Jerusalem. In just those couple of verses, there is a tremendous amount of background knowledge and understanding that we just simply don't have. We don't know where they came from. But there had to be a lot of things God already put into motion for the wise men to have made the journey from wherever they came from to see Jesus. The wise men are quoted as saying that they saw his star rising in the east. How did they know to look for it? How did they know that that was his star? How did they know that that star that they were going to see was going to be connected to the place of Israel and the king that would be born there? How did they even know where Israel was? Most of us probably couldn't find it on a map. Well, probably most of us could, but many people in the world could not even find where Israel is on a map. And yet, these wise men somehow understood that this star that was going to show up was going to be for the king of Israel, and they knew where to find him, at least the country in which he would be. There is a whole lot of background information that they had to have in order for them to make all of those connections and understanding. Chances are, they didn't speak Hebrew. Chances are, they didn't speak Greek. Chances are, they didn't speak a language that anyone in Israel had ever heard. God was already at work many generations before Jesus was born to make it so the wise men would show up at the right time. However he was working, it was a way of communicating to them in their own language, in a way that they would recognize by following the stars and astronomy, that Jesus, this Messiah, this King of the Jews, would be born. So many parts and pieces had to come together to make this moment possible. When I was ending college, I was trying to figure out what job I was going to have and where I was going to be, and I interviewed with a few different places, and one that I decided was the best opportunity for me was actually two states away from where I was in college and where I lived with my parents. I moved to Illinois. And no sooner had I arrived, probably 2 weeks after I had shown up, a great aunt of mine gave me a call. And she said, "Your great grandfather moved from Kentucky to southern Missouri." And I knew all of that story. That had been drilled into me since I was young. What she told me was that his brother had moved from Kentucky, and he had moved to a town in the same county where I was now living, just like 4 or 5 miles away from where I had my house. That was an interesting connection. Then she told me, "I'm probably related to everybody in the area." Sometime later, a couple years after that, I was working on a lesson in my office, and was bored out of my mind. I couldn't keep my mind focused on what I was supposed to do. Felt really trapped and cooped up. So I went out to the kind of awning parking lot area of the church and just decided I would sit out there and see if the fresh air and all that changed my mind and I could work on my lesson. I'm sitting out there in this chair working on the lesson I'm supposed to be working on. And, of course, my mind isn't really all that much more focused. So I'm looking around, seeing what's out there. And I happen to look up, and there is a person running, jogging kind of on the road way down, like 2 or 3 blocks away. And they're running. That's the only thing going on around me. So I go back to my lesson. And after I've done a little bit more, I look up. And the person who was running was flat on the ground in the road. They had fallen. And in southern Illinois, they have these wonderful trees that are called gumball trees. And the seeds are on pods that are round. And the pods, you can't do anything with them. Okay? You can't mow them because they just bounce off the mower blades. And you can't burn them because even when you do burn them, there's still these round circles that go nowhere. And so everyone has to bag them up and everyone hates them. Well, I surmised, because there were gumballs just everywhere, that the runner had stepped on one of the gumballs, it had rolled, and the runner had went flat down on the ground. So I got up from where I was, the runner was only about 4 houses away from me, and I started to make my way that direction in case they'd really injured themselves. Well, I only got maybe 50 feet, and another person had spotted the runner lying in the street as well. And the older guy, probably in his 60s, made his way out of his house and over and helped the lady up. And if I had gotten there, I would have met my wife 2 years too early. Soon after we started dating, I asked the question, "Where's your family from? Are you from this area or did you move from somewhere else? Because I want to know if I'm related." So there were a lot of things that had to come together for my wife and I to meet at the right time, in the right moment. And it wasn't while she was lying in the street after falling down on a gumball. God's timing about things is incredibly perfect. There are things that have to come together at the perfect moment, at the exact time, so that things work out the way God intends. In Christian circles, we call that providence. That God has a plan and He has provided for things to work out according to His design. Sometimes when you watch a movie, they'll call it fate. Those without any understanding of God might call it luck. When the wise men showed up as Jesus was a child, so many things in God's providence had to come together. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. To you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Not only was God preparing wise men, stargazers many, many miles away, to know and be prepared for the King of Israel to be born, but God was also preparing Israel itself. God let them know years and years before Jesus was born where it would take place. If this little line and this little prophecy hadn't been given, then the Magi would have shown up in Jerusalem and they would not have known where else to go. The directions that they sought would have been unavailable. Herod, having now learned this location of the Messiah's birth, has another plan in store. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Herod had no intention of going and worshiping his replacement. Few of us would want to go and spend time with our replacement that we didn't really like or want to have at work. Herod felt no differently about his replacement. He was getting fired. Jesus, the Messiah, had come. His intention in asking when the star had appeared was so that he might know about how old the baby was, because the Magi said the star appeared to show the Savior, the Messiah, the King's birth. The Magi came with all kinds of information that Herod did not even have. After they heard the king, that is King Herod, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it had rose went ahead of them. What star does that in the sky? What star rises in the east and stays up above and kind of runs into the directions of other stars so they all kind of conjoin and align, and then all of a sudden shows up somewhere close where they can follow it from town to town? This is not an ordinary star. This is not a star that you might have seen up in the heavens and said, "Oh, isn't that pretty how it sparkles?" No, this star moves and travels and leads. Authors have often associated the star with an angel that would have guided and directed, so that the wise men not only found which nation the Messiah would be in, but his very place of residence. They'd seen it when it rose and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So much had to go in to getting these wise men to the place where they were supposed to be, so that they could deliver these gifts that have so much meaning and importance about who Jesus the Messiah is. Back in the year 1863, which is the same year as the story we told last week, a song was published here in the United States called "We Three Kings." It was published by John Hopkins Jr., who was professor of music at General Theological Seminary in New York City. The musical that it was written for kind of gives you an indication about why it sings the way it does. There are not very many hymns of Christmas that speak in the first person. that it says, I am this and I bring this and I have come to him. We often sing in third person. Now, this was a musical introducing who the three kings were. Interestingly, though, that seminary in New York City was never intended to be. General Theological Seminary was not supposed to exist. The seminary was called for by the synod of that denomination, and they decided they were going to build it in Connecticut. But nonetheless, they got it a giant gift of land. Clement Moore gave this land to the seminary, and Clement Moore served as its first professor of Greek and Hebrew, teaching students how to read the Old and New Testament. Clement Moore is best known not for his faith in Christ or even his family's great wealth, nor is he known for teaching Bible languages to pastors. But he is best known as the author of this work, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse." Clement Moore, among all the other things he did, wrote, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And if he had never existed, and Clement Moore had never been born, then we would not sing We Three Kings either. And as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. God is always at work around us, and we cannot always see it. In fact, we probably don't see it. There are so many things that have to work together for God's perfect timing to work out in our lives. God is at work, but we only see a tiny piece of his giant, beautiful tapestry, of the great novel of the perfect history of love that he writes. The visit of the three kings to baby Jesus shows God's great work in bringing so many things together so that we can only call it providence. Stars had to align, angels had to be sent, travel plans had to be made, wise men had to be born, Bible scholars had to know their Old Testament, and yes, Jesus, his own son, had to be born as well. God is working in your life, bringing about by his same sovereign power, his will, his plan, his love. The emergence of the three kings in these nativity stories shows us the mighty power of God, so that he is always working, even in things tiny and small, so that his plan perfectly comes together. Let's pray. Lord, it can be hard at times to not see how the things in our lives work together for your will and for your glory. It can be hard sometimes to trust that you are working in the circumstances that we cannot control. But Lord, we get glimpses now and then. We see from time to time how your mighty hand works to bring things about and steer things together at exactly the right time. Lord, help us to trust in your plan and your will. And help us, Lord, also do like the Magi did, so that we might worship your Son. Lord, we ask for your grace and mercy, not only in our lives, but in the lives of all those we love. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.